I want to get into my will and be born anew in your grace. For as I am, He must increase your power in me, that I believe. For this you bear offering, your prize no longer a mystery. Till I'm free.
Wanted to say something after, because when you talk before, sometimes it changes the whole thing. This song here, we were in the house the other day, and Sister Victoria was playing the guitar, and I could hear a song. Literally, I could just hear a song, and I came and I explained. I said, there's a song in this song. And then we sat down, Sister Victoria, Sister Nachiza, Sister Liana, myself, and we put the words together. That's where you find God's gifts, find their appropriate places. I'm not talking of myself. I'm saying in the church, there's a lot of gifted people, you see. But we need to use the gifts to glorify God. That's all I wanted to say. Let's sing that song, "There is a fountain filled with blood." Hallelujah. Aren't you happy today? There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. And there, me, a sinner, I can plunge beneath that flood. Amen. There is a fountain.
Yeah. be peace in the valley. For me, someday there'll be peace in the valley.
Well, I'm tired.
So weary. I must go along till the Lord comes and pulls me away. This journey we're on is to a destination. Now, sometimes we forget that. We think it's just the journey. Because sometimes the journey goes on. You know, there's unexpected things, there's valleys, the different things we go through. But this journey had a beginning and it has an end.
Amen.
And the prophet, he heard that voice and it said, just beyond your final breath is something so glorious. And there's a land just beyond, friends, and it's not far away. Like that song says, there's a land I'm longing for, though I've never seen it before. It's not too many miles away.
Amen.
The prophet says it was just there. Not 20 feet away, there was a dimension that opened.
Amen.
In God's appointed time, and he saw that place where there's peace in the valley. That place where there's no sickness, there's no sorrow, there's no crying. Now, there's never going to be a funeral service there. There's never going to be visiting somebody in the hospital. There's never going to be waking up in the morning and you don't really feel like getting up that day. It's perfection. The prophet says it's beyond perfection. He says there's no words. He says you just have to be there. That's the only way that you can explain. So friends, this journey that we're on, as Brother David was saying last night, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega. He's the beginning, he's the ending, he's the author, and he's the finisher of the faith. If he's the one that has started a real work in you, that work that started at the altar, that supernatural work that he began, it's taken you somewhere. It's taken us to a destination. Let's not forget that, friends. Sometimes we think just so much in this element of time. But we came from eternity. We're going back to eternity.
Hallelujah.
And that's what it's all about. We just want to keep Sister Lydia in prayer. She's traveling with her children to Slovakia this week. Brother Vlad put that one there. And Brother Mike Kadango as well is asking for prayer because he's working today. Let's put these before the Lord. Father, we bring these requests before thee, Lord, upon this day on behalf of your children. Father, for Sister Lydia, as she would travel, Father, we pray that you give her traveling mercies. We pray that you'll bless her in her journey, right from the time that she leaves home, right to her coming back. Lord, we do pray that it will be a blessing. Lord, that you'd bless her, that you'd refresh her, that you'd allow her to be a blessing there as well, that you'd bless the fellowship she'd have there, that you'd bless her, the family that she'd be visiting, Lord, that, Father, when she'd come back, she'd say, surely the Lord was with me. Lord, bless her in her journey. Brother Mike, we pray for him and his family, praying for them at work. Lord, won't you be with them as well? Father, draw nigh unto his soul, fellowship with him. Watch over him, we'd pray. Father, and as we'd come to the word, we're dedicating these things to thee. You be glorified. Bless our brother. Thank you for the service last night. Father, speak unto us upon this day. Lord, we're waiting upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to say quickly, to those who weren't here last night, to those who haven't met Brother David and Sister Deborah Nash, we're really so glad to have them with us. They're from Oregon in the States, right on the west coast there. I'm sure they have pretty similar weather to us. I don't think there's too many places in the world that has weather like Ireland, but they're from a similar sort of place, so they really, I'm sure, feel at home with this. Brother David does a lot of missionary work, like we said. He also does like a circuit of preaching in Oregon and around the area there, and he goes to a lot of different places to preach. So I really do think it's a noble thing. The prophet says, when you're in missionary work, you know you're in the perfect will of God. Because that was the great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we really do appreciate that ministry. I remember the first time when Brother David came, and I think he came with Sister Ruth. And Sister Ruth, Brother David got up in the front, if you remember, I think it was an afternoon service, and said, maybe I can ask my daughter to come and sing a song. And she came and she sang that song, "The Law of the Lord is Perfect, Amen. Converting My Soul." It was such a blessing. And then Brother David got up after and says, "That's amazing." He says, "That's my text." And that is exactly the scripture he was going to preach that day. And don't you love those kind of things? Amen. You know, when people are in a harmony like that in the spiritual realm. So we want to give over to Brother David to take his liberty in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you this morning. He said, take my liberty. He mentioned songs would be all right. You could sit down and I'd sing a song for you. My brother last night, I thought maybe I was stealing from his time of ministry, and he said he was glad that I took over the piano. So I'll do it once more for you, brother. Lord gave us a song about a year or two ago, and it's one that really means a lot to me. Hope you enjoy it too. So many people spend lives looking for gold. Well, I'm not singing the right song here. What am I doing? This has happened before in my life. Okay. So many people spend lives looking for gold. So many heartaches over stories never told, searching for tomorrows that may never be lived, drowning in sorrows that ne'er should have been. But I'll trade my tomorrows for one day with him, for a day spent with Jesus is a day without end. A day in his glory is worth everything. I will trade my tomorrows just to walk with the King. It's hard to remember a day without pain, strain, times of fierce trials that cause us such pain. But when at life's closing the tally is made, a day spent with Jesus will cause you no shame. So I'll trade my tomorrows for one day with Him. A day spent with Jesus is a day without end. A day in His glory is worth everything. Yes, I'll trade my tomorrows just to walk with the King. When in life we find suffering that we can't understand, we all make our choices with our time where we'll stand. 10 million tomorrows bathed in riches and fame can never compare with just one day with Him. So I'll trade my tomorrows for one day with Him. For a day spent with Jesus is a day without end. A day in His glory is worth everything. I'll trade all my tomorrows just to walk with the King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be back. It's been 3 years since we were here before, and I think that's too long, Brother Andrew, Sister Gudana. They're about to have another child, and then I keep calling poor little Benji. I keep calling him Daniel because Daniel was about that size when I was here last, and Benji looks at me and goes, "That's not my name." So y'all pray for us, but before I forget, I'd bring you greetings from the Saints of God in Nicaragua. Have plans to go there sometime in July. And actually, when I was studying, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, and looking at some things for the message, I kept feeling a pull towards Nicaragua. And I thought, Maya, I'm in Ireland. I'm supposed to be speaking in Ireland. Lord, what's going on? Well, I got an email last night from one of my interpreters there. She's actually a 15-year-old girl, but she is an amazing interpreter. And she said, Brother David, because I had emailed her, I guess, a few days back, and when she said, Brother David, we got the email. My dad, who's the pastor at one of the churches, she said, all of us, the whole church, the family, they're all praying. And, you know, when you all start praying for somebody... That pull of the Holy Spirit, it's already there. So you pray for us, pray for the meetings in Nicaragua. We had a tremendous time when we were there just a few months ago. I'll just share one little testimony of it with you. I got up one morning, and I just didn't feel like eating, no special pull or nothing. I just had a cup of coffee, and I think that was about it, and went through the day, and there might have been a little piece of fruit. I think that was all I had pretty much all day. I didn't really know why, and they came and got me and took me a few places. Do you want to eat? And I said, no, I had to drink one more. I'm a coffee kind of fan, especially if you get it in Nicaragua. It's mountain grown. It's kind of amazing stuff. So I said, I'll take one more cup of coffee, and that was it for the day. Well, that evening, we were down waiting for Brother Eusebio to come, and a man came in to, he has a little tire shop that he operates, and he and his son, and a man came in the tire shop and started talking about his mother, and I'm not that good with Spanish, but somehow it's a roundabout relative of theirs, and said that she had cancer and was terminal stages, and they were kind of talking about it, you know, real serious talk, and I'm just picking up about every fourth or fifth word. Hablo español is not very good, muy poquito, and very little. And I just, something from my heart said, you need to pray for that woman. And so I got up and I said, you know, I'm here, I'm a minister. I said, would you like, or would she like,
if we came and prayed for her. And the man, he looked at me and he goes, would you do that? And I said, well, of course we would. We're commanded to do that, commissioned to do that. And so he said, well, just a minute. And he went outside and called on the cell phone. And he came back in and said, well, when can you come? And I said, well, when is it convenient for you? And I turned to Eusebio and his daughters that were standing there and said, well, when, you know, can I, because I didn't have transportation this particular time. I said, when can you go? And they said, well, we could go, I think they said tomorrow morning. Well, he went outside and talked, and he came back in and said, can we go right now? And so I turned to them, and they said, well, sure. And so there was another brother, I think, and I can't remember. Yeah, there was another brother there, a missionary that works in the mountain regions there in Nicaragua, and he was there. He said, oh, can I go? I said, absolutely, you can go. And he had a little pouch on his side, and he even had anointing oil because he prays for the people there in the mountains often. And so they asked, since Joyce is only 15, the older sister, Raquel, also translates. She doesn't like it, so she usually pushes it off on her little sister. And Papa said, well, is it all right if Raquel translates for you? And I said, of course. And so Raquel and the next sister is Alisa. They went, and there was another cousin and their children, and then the other brother. And so we drove way off through the city there of Managua, quite a large city, and came to this little house. And when we went in and began to pray, just Raquel and the other brother and I went in, and we met with the woman, and as we started to talk to her, just we picked up in the spirit that she was having, she had some real spiritual problems. So I said, all right, you know, I've been told you have cancer and such, but, you know, you have, and we just kind of mentioned a couple of things, you know, these are spiritual problems you've got to get a hold of first. And she bowed her head and she said, yes, I'm willing to lay that down. And I said, all right, then we'll pray first for the spiritual problems. So the three of us, we prayed for her, and with the power of God just come down, and she started crying and weeping, and just you could feel the presence of God starting to raise her hands like that. And we said, okay, and talked to her for a few more minutes. And I said, now, there was a peace had settled over the whole household, and I think there was some of the other family was, you know, peeking around from the corners, because I think some of the other family is Roman Catholic, and they're not used to prayer for the sick, and so they're watching Grandma out there, so I said, all right, now we'll pray for the disease. So the brother anointed her with oil, and again, we bowed our heads and prayed together, and boy, the Spirit of God come down this time, and we were holding hands in a circle, and I don't think we could have held her hands down. The Spirit of the Lord hit her, and her hands went up. She started praising the Lord and thanking God for her deliverance, and we just talked to her for a minute and kind of went out the door and drove off. And so come to find out the next day, Alisa is gifted with, she's sometimes allowed, the Lord allows her to see things in the Spirit, supernatural realm, and she was real quiet in the vehicle. I didn't ask any questions why, but when we went by the shop the next day and she was there, she began to relate to her mom that what she had seen, because she'd stayed out in the van, that she had seen two demons leave that household in the supernatural realm. And she began to describe what they looked like. She said, I was not afraid at all, because she said I could saw them come out. And one went this way, and she said a few minutes later, the next one went out and went away. And she described what they looked like, how they were hideous creatures and so on. And I says, does she know that we prayed twice? And she did not know that we had prayed twice. Amen. But see how God vindicates things. Supernaturally, she had seen two demons leave. Well, we had prayed twice, and God took care of the situation. Last I heard, the woman was feeling wonderful, and God is still God, friends. Said, in my name you shall cast out devils, She'll pray for the sick. They shall recover. Those kind of things. It's our responsibility doesn't lie in healing the people. Our responsibility is only to do what God told us to do. It says anoint them and pray for the prayer of faith. Believers lay hands on the sick. That's not just the pastor or the deacons. That's every believer.
Amen.
You sisters, you got sick babies, sick relatives, whatever it is, you have the power of God. It's not your responsibility to heal them.
Amen.
You just do what God told you to do. And God, it's up to God to do the rest.
Amen.
So we praise the Lord. We're expecting there was other things that that has happened there. Before one time we prayed for a woman in a prayer line. She had a big growth on her throat. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a goiter. I found out later it was a cancer. They said she was at home, I believe it was the following Tuesday, doing some dishes, and the cancer fell off on the floor. God is still God. There was a little boy that the last one, my interpreter told me these things because I'd already gone home, and he said, "Did you hear what happened from that prayer line?" And I said, "No, I didn't." But there was a little boy, and I remember the little boy because he was so frail. He was just looked like if you shook him, he'd just break to pieces. And when they told me he had cancer of the blood, and remember, I just had stepped out like that, and I got down on my knees with the little boy, and he's just so little like that. And I prayed with him, put my head on his chest and prayed with him. And, you know, the mother went off, and he was so serious that even the government had took his case, and they were to take him to the hospital in Managua. We were up at another city that particular time, and they were going to see if they could put the boy on chemotherapy. And he'd had quite a few tests, and they were sure that, you know, they knew it was leukemia or cancer of the blood. And they said when they took him back, I believe it was about 8 or 10 days later, the doctors tested and tested, and they said, "We don't know what happened.
Amen.
This boy has no cancer."
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the God we serve.
Amen.
Whatever your burden, whatever your trouble, whatever your struggle, trial, whatever it might be today, you trust and you believe God. You pray and He can answer it. Sometimes He does it by laying on a hand, sometimes by the prayer of faith, sometimes by the anointing oil. But He also said He sent His Word and healed the people. So this morning you pray and let the Word heal, whether it's body, spirit, soul. We're three-part beings. Whatever part you need healed, you pray, God can heal. So we love you this morning. Brother Vergas, he come again today and said, "Well, what's the name of your message, Brother David?" Told him I had it down to three. But I was just praying. It seemed like the Holy Spirit, this one about lions, actually. And then when I stepped outside and they sang that, you were singing that song, "Peace in the Valley." Said the lion will lay down with the lamb. I thought, well, praise the Lord. There it is. So we thank you. And if we could just stand for a moment, let's approach the author first and see what the Lord has for us today. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we bring greetings, Lord, from the people in Nicaragua and said to greet the saints in Ireland, Lord, like precious people, like precious faith, believers in the Word of God. You've performed great miracles in that country. We're expecting many more, but we're expecting miracles for these people of Ireland today. Some have come from a far country, from Africa, from Russia, from Slovakia, all these different places, Lord, but you have gathered them to hear the Word this morning. Lord, the Word of God is pure. The testimonies are pure, making wise the simple. Lord, your word endureth forever. You sent your word, you healed the people. If there's one that's struggling this morning, heal that person.
Amen.
Feed our souls, feed our hearts, feed our lives, whatever it is we have need of, you are still Jehovah provider.
Amen.
So I'm asking now that you would get this mortal man out of the way, that you would come. Take this vessel and speak to your children. Take these words that you've prepared before us. Just a few scriptures, Lord God, but you're the God of the scriptures. Speak, Lord, lip to ear, and from ear to heart, heart to heart. God, your heart to their hearts as we approach you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we could turn first to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Maybe read two or three verses before we actually are seated. I find the Word of God never ending. We were speaking just for a moment to Virgus before the service about a situation. God has a sense of humor. If you feel like laughing, it's all right. You laugh. It's one thing to laugh with somebody and something else to laugh at somebody. And if it's the Spirit of the Lord dealing you to laugh with Him, have a good time. So we love you this morning. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we'll start with the 30th verse and just read a couple verses there. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with the beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy. You love the Lord this morning. I just stand amazed at the Word of God. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I'm working of it's a bilingual Bible that I have, so actually I turn slow, and I think it helps people because we can all read together then. It's the 4th chapter, and I think it's about the 15th or 16th verse. Yeah, we'll start with the 14th verse. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now we just read he fought with the beasts at Ephesus. Now he mentions it again. So we'll go another place, and that's Amos, the 3rd chapter, one you should all be familiar with. We'll start with the 4th verse. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveal his secrets to his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? One last place, and that's in Genesis, the 49th chapter. I like it when you can trace it all the way through the book. Then you're on pretty sure footing. All right, the 49th chapter of Genesis, and this is the place where the prophet has called all of the children together, or Jacob has called all his sons, and he's gathered them there, and he begins to give the blessings. He starts, of course, with Reuben, the firstborn, and then Simeon, and on down. And finally, starting at verse 8, he comes to Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. Ask you to add your blessing to the word. Lead us and guide us through these passages in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As we think about these things, we could also turn, as it were, to Ezekiel in the first chapter, and it's where Ezekiel is caught up in the vision, and when he sees the spirits of God and the throne of God, and he gives the description of the angels and the angels' wings and all those things, and he sees the spirits of God. He sees also in that vision, he sees the lion, the man, the sacrificial beast, and also the eagle. And so we realize that that is one of the manifestations of the Spirit of God, is the lion. Now, we know that there's many places it's spoken of, but there when it speaks of it in Amos, he's giving a description of what that lion represents. You know, can a man, and it's that's the spirit of prophecy, or the spirit of God coming forth in predicting things that are to be, or things that are going to come to pass, or laying forth, as we talked about, for those who weren't here last night, we talked a little bit about the nature of God and the personality of God. He is a creator. And he has specific ways in which he creates. And of course, the one we're most familiar with is the Word of God. Whenever something moves from the mind of God onto the lips of God, it then becomes active, or we would think of it as the verb. It begins to move and accomplish whatever the thought of God was. And so when he says the lion of the roared, who can but prophesy? He's talking about the spirit of prophecy coming forth. We realize that in times of old that God spoke to those prophets and things in visions and all those things. And there came the time when the people said, let Moses speak lest we die. They didn't like, they were not in position to where they could receive it directly from God, and they actually requested that God use a prophet. And God used that prophet Moses, and he would speak to Moses. That was already the plan of God, because he had told Moses, you go down and be a God to those people, and Aaron will be your mouthpiece. But there came the place when the people came out to worship, then they reaffirmed that. Yes, we want Moses to speak. Well, the Spirit of God on Moses, we know, and on those other prophets, it was a spirit of prophesying and of speaking things that were yet to come. Amen. Now, as soon as whenever God speaks something, you have to understand that all things were created by Him, for Him, without anything. There was nothing made except Jesus. It was made by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so when those prophets speak certain things, all of nature begins to come into accordance with whatever it was that God spoke to bring to pass the Word of God. Not one word of God will ever fail. His Word will never return void. It is completely and will be finished. And the interesting thing about it is, He could use it over and over and over the same words. I think of the place where He said, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, He called the children of Israel out. He called Jacob out. He called Jesus Christ out. In fact, it says when Jesus Christ came out, this was done to fulfill what the prophet had said. Out of Egypt have I called my son. He is still using that scripture this morning. He is calling sons and daughters, Gentile bride of Christ, out of spiritual Egypt. That word is still active. It is still performing exactly what He said. We mentioned last night, for those that weren't here, light. When He said, let there be light, and the light, you know, all of the universe, whatever it was, that, you know, those things didn't even exist. But when he said, let there be light, and the light came forth, and it began to be created, prophet of God said it might have been millions and millions of years. We don't know as far as our time's concerned. But in God's time, it might have been like that. Because he lives in eternity, dwells in eternity. But whenever that light came forth, we still have light being created today. The sunlight that's happening today is not the same sunlight you had yesterday. It's new light. The light from these tubes up there, it's not the same light that was here last night. God's Word is still creating light. So whenever God says something and He puts it in motion, it will continue in motion unless He says stop. Amen. And if we understand that concept and we think about as Christians and receiving the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us, it has the power to create in us the human being or the son or daughter of God that He had in His mind before the world began. Because the power of God, the power of creation is there, and the prophecy or the prophetic utterance of God will command and bring everything into subjection to create you to be a son or daughter of God. And it won't stop. The only thing, you know, the difference what happens with people is our unbelief. It doesn't hinder God, but it can hinder your experience or my experience. If we refuse to believe like the children of Israel did, if we refuse to believe what God said, it can get you into trouble. As I think, wasn't going to go this route, but we think about the children of Israel and how they came to that certain place, and the spies had gone into the land, and they came back, and they began to give a report. And the report they gave was evil about the land. And Joshua and Caleb stood up and tried to still the people and said, no, let us go up at once. God hath given us the land. Well, we know what happened. They said with their words, they said, oh, that we had died in Egypt, or that we had died in the wilderness. Now think about this. They came out. This is serious. They came out under a prophet's message. That prophet had been ordained by God to be a God to those people. And whatever that prophet said came to pass. Whatever it was, whether it was lice or frogs or blood in the water, or all of the things, or even this day, you'll not see these enemies again. It all came to pass. The prophetic word of God was brought to pass in that prophet's message. What he said happened. And you see, God had told Moses when he first came down to him, he told him, Moses, I am come down. It was God had come down to deliver the people. Because the time and the season had arrived that He had spoken 400 years before to Abraham. He had told Abraham, your children will go down after 400 years. I will bring them out with a strong and mighty hand. So God came on the scene to fulfill His promise, and He had a certain way to do it. And here was Moses, the strong and mighty hand of God, an 80-year-old man. Well, how are we doing today? With a stick in his hand. Huh. The mighty hand of God. You see, God's ways are not our ways. Because God knew the power was not in the man, but the power was in the Word that God commissioned him with. And what the people didn't realize was the promise was not only that He would bring them out, but that He would take them in to a land that flowed with milk and honey. You see, it was a twofold promise. And they came out, and all the time that Moses is speaking those things, those plagues and things on Pharaoh, the same spirit that's destroying Pharaoh was building faith in them to believe and to speak the word of God. To speak it, because they are the participants of that deliverance. And can you imagine? Well, even when the first thing started to happen, they're rejoicing. And, you know, then Pharaoh hardens his heart. Then they get down. And then the next one happens. Oh, praise the Lord. We're the children of God. We're God's called. You know, and just thing after thing. And they were receiving that anointing because they were to be the participants. And so, without even realizing it, when God opens the Red Seas and said, you'll see these enemies no more, they were the participants or the partakers of those words. And so then when they come out and they go in the wilderness and now it's time to cross over and the spies come back and they have the bad report, you see, they didn't realize they were under a spoken word ministry. They were participating in a spoken word ministry. And had they have said, now think about it, Joshua and Caleb said, let us go up at once. But the rest of them spoke something. They said, would that we had died in Egypt. Would that we had died in the wilderness. What was in their hearts? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Death was in their hearts. Egypt was in their hearts. They had come out of Egypt. Egypt never came out of them. Because that's all they're talking about. Dying in the wilderness. Dying in Egypt. That's what was in their heart. And when they spoke it, the power of the spoken word had moved from the prophet onto the people. And when they spoke it, God backed it up and said, I'll give them what they asked for. I've talked to people, they claim to follow the message of the hour. I don't doubt, you know, they follow some form of it. But I had a man here some time back say, oh, won't it be great when we have the spoken word? I thought to myself, where you been for the last 50 years? Really? Because if you think about it, when the prophet and God began to deal with him, was speaking the squirrels into existence, speaking the storm out of existence, those different things. And how did that happen? And here was a woman sitting there with a sister that hadn't been healed, that had been prayed for many times, and had no money, and all those things. Her name's Hattie Wright. I'm sure you've read the story. And here she is, and he begins to tell her these things. And she said the right thing. She said, that's exactly the truth. And when her words agreed with his words, who were God's word because God told him to do those things, the anointing moved from the prophet of God and said, tell her what she says she can have it. And the revelation moved from the prophet onto the bride of Jesus Christ. And the spoken word has become, and it's become greater and greater and greater. And yet it can be so simple. I'll give a little testimony. We were down with Brother Nondachetti. He's been here before. And we'd spoken quite a few meetings. We'd been over in Madagascar and came back and finished the last meeting. And they like to have, you know, the French way, they line you all up at the, and then you go down the line and they're all doing the this and shaking hands and God bless you. And the first one comes by and I had airplane tickets to get a cheap enough ticket. We'd gone a real strange flight pattern to go home. And I had the tickets in my briefcase. And a man asked me, well, how are you going home? And I said, I go from, you know, Paris to New York to Newark, New Jersey to Salt Lake City to whatever it was. I don't even remember now. And I think Salt Lake City to Seattle. And, you know, he gets this funny look. He says, where's that? I said, well, we'll talk about it later because the people are waiting in line, you know. And the next one, about two more down, this guy asks. And I start to explain and he gets this look. And I thought, Lord, I was tired. Been in many meetings and I was tired. I'm looking at this guy. I thought, Lord, I just got to tell him, I'm going Paris, New York to Seattle. And that's what I said. And about four or five more people asked as they came through the line. And I just said, well, I'm going Paris, New York to Seattle. Well, sure enough, we get on the flight. We go, I believe it was Paris. It might have been Rome, but whichever city. And we wind in New York. And I jump on the taxi cab to go down to Newark to catch my next flight. Wound up sleeping in the airport for about half the night and woke up and got up. You know, you're kind of kinky when you've been sleeping on your luggage. And I'm going over to look at the deal to see what the flights are doing. And all of a sudden, the guy reaches up and pulls my flight. And I'm going, what? So I went, you know, found my way to the counter. I said, hey, that says they pulled that flight. I said, what's going on? I'm supposed to be on that flight here in about an hour. He goes, you're on that flight? And I said, yeah. He said, well, they had mechanical difficulties and the airplane had to stay in, I don't know, Atlanta or somewhere, wherever it was. And he said, whoa. And he says, well, what's your final destination? I said, Seattle. And so he goes on the computer and he said, I got to get you back to New York right now. And another little point I'll just drop in here. When we'd been getting off the airplane in one of those cities, you know, you walk through first class. Well, I never bought a first class ticket because the people that support me are poor people usually and don't have a lot of money. And, you know, you just want to use God's money wisely and stuff. And so, but I was walking through first class and I was looking at, you know, on a 12-hour flight, you get to thinking, that'd be pretty nice to lay out nice and flat, you know, a little blanket over you, your own set of earphones, all those things, you know. And I looked at that, but I just had a thought. I thought, wow, that'd be nice sometime. You know, but in my heart, I thought, oh, Lord, I just couldn't do that to people, you know. And so here the man, he gets on the computer, he goes, I got to get you back to New York at once. And so he printed something out. He goes, here, this will pay for your taxi cab. He says, you got to be to gate such and such at such and such a time. Get there. He said, don't even stop. So I gathered up my bags and I started down the deal. And he goes, oh, and by the way, I bumped you to first class. Praise be to God. And so we jump on the taxi cab. We got there just kind of in a moment of time. We were able to get on the airplane, and I wasn't thinking nothing about it. We fly, and we landed there in Seattle, and I got off, and as I'm deboarding the plane, I just felt that presence of the Lord. I thought, Lord, what's going on? What just happened here? And I stopped and looked back as the people coming off the airplane. And he said, did not you say that you would fly Paris, or New York to Seattle? And you tell me the spoken word's not in effect, brother, sister? God changed those airplane tickets like that. I could tell you case after case. My daughter-in-law couldn't have a baby. They said she had a growth or something in her womb. And you know, she called up, asked us to pray. My son Jonathan was at the house at the time, and she started explaining how they wanted to do a surgery and stuff, and we're just listening, and she's saying, oh, pray for me, I want everything to be all right and stuff. And it was Jonathan. He said, Michelle, you speak what you want, God will give it to you. And Michelle spoke. She said, I want to have the surgery, but they'll find nothing wrong with me, and then I'll conceive and have a son. That is exactly what happened. They performed the surgery, they looked, and they said, there's nothing here. The doctors got angry. They had x-rays of a growth on her womb. And they're looking at the x-rays, and they thought they had the wrong patient. And they were angry. She spoke it, friends. It's real. It's alive. Realize who you are. Realize that life and death holds in your tongue. God never condemned those people. They condemned themselves. But now we look at the flip side of that, and here was Joshua and Caleb. And it took 40 years for all of that unbelief to die and for God's word to come to pass. that they could have what they asked for. And one day, Joshua and Caleb are down there at the river, and the Spirit of God says, you know, you've not gone this way before. And yet God parts back the river, and they go across on dry ground. And here's Joshua and Caleb, you know, on the ark and all the things going on with that. You can read it, first few chapters of Joshua. And when he steps up on the other shore, he could have said, this day, that prophecy's fulfilled. Because when his word agreed with God's word, God brought it to pass. When your word agrees with God's word, God brings it to pass. And so, we look at these things and we realize that all nature has to come into accordance with whatever God's word says. I don't know why we went that route. I hope it helps you this morning. We'll get back to the subject here. And so we see here in Genesis when he's talking to Judah. Now we know later through history that God assigns the Christ to be born in the line of Judah. Hence that Jesus Christ himself is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so it's in this lineage of Judah, and as Jacob, the prophet daddy, is there, and he's praying for the kids, and the Spirit of God comes upon him, and he begins to say, "Thou art, you know, thy brethren, or they will praise, and the hand will be in the neck of the enemies," those things that we just read, "the children will bow down before thee." He's speaking of Christ. And as he's speaking about those things, in verse 9, I love this scripture because it mentions the lion actually three times, but it says, "Judah is a lion's whelp." Now, if you know, many of you from Africa, I'm sure you understand what a lion's whelp is. It's the child of a lion. It's that which the lion brought forth in the form of a child. And he says, "Judah is a lion's whelp." And then it has those famous little two dots. Brother Branham said sometimes there can be 2,000 years between those dots. It's a space of time undesignated. It's just there. And he says, "From the prey, my son, thou art gone up." He stooped down. He couched as a lion. That means he laid down and rested as a lion. We heard it in the song, "The lion will lay down with the lamb." But he said, and then he said, "As an old lion, who shall rouse him up?" So you see the lion as the son of the lion. You see the lion in rest position. And you see the lion being awakened or aroused. All in the lineage of Judah. And we go back then and we look at the prophet Amos and how he says, "The lion hath roared, who can but prophesy?" So we begin to realize that these descriptions of the lion are prophetic words. These are words that God has laid out there in a certain form, and that once they are spoken, all of nature will begin to come together. And all of the molecules and the stars of the universe, whatever it is, they will all come together to bring these prophecies to pass. Because the lion hath roared, who can but prophesy? It is the spirit of prophecy. Brother Branham used that message or those scriptures for the message, "The way of a true prophet." It's the prophetic word coming forth. The spirit of the lion. Now we see when Ezekiel saw it and he saw those spirits, and we know each one of those spirits, the Jews had their church ages, the Gentiles had those church ages, and we find Brother Branham telling us that when that early church went out, the lion roared. He said through those apostles, they went out, they were brave, they withstood the beatings, they withstood the scribes, the Pharisees, they withstood the Romans, they did all those things, they preached the gospel without fear. He said that was the spirit of the lion. It was the spirit of prophecy. It was the spirit that we have in this book that we have that we call the New Testament. And that testament was the seed or the prophetic word that would bring forth the entire Gentile dispensation under the spirit of the lion. And they roared out, and we know how that spirit came, and they prophesied and they talked about these things. And here we enter Paul. He said, "I fought with the beasts at Ephesus." Oh my. Can you imagine? He fought with the beasts at Ephesus. And he's telling this to the Corinthians. Now, what is the significance? Well, Brother Branham, as we know, told us about Ephesus, and he said it was the most mature of all of those early churches. So mature, he said, it could have been raptured. It could have been raptured. It was that mature. The seed of prophecy from the lion had so taken root in Ephesus, it had the ability to go in the rapture. But Ephesus lacked something. When God describes through the Apostle John, and he looks at Ephesus, he said, Ephesus, you missed something. He said, you lost your first love. Oh my. Brother, sister, that's where Ephesus failed. They lost their first love. And when Paul says, I fought with the beasts at Ephesus, he was there delivering from the lion. He was delivered from the lion's mouth, it says in another place. We read it there, and I believe it was Timothy. He had fought with the lion. He had fought with the beasts. He had fought with the spirits of Satan and had brought them to the point of overcoming, except for they lost their first love. They lost their love for Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And it was that first horse rider. I heard the brother giving the little Sunday school this morning. But it was that first horse rider, and it began to come, and it seemed so insignificant. And it seemed so, it didn't matter. It's okay, we can act a little bit like the scribes and Pharisees. We can surrender to a little bit of their law. We can take, you know, this or that. And because they accepted those things, the subtlety of the spirit of Satan that had come and begun to ride those horses, because they accepted that, they lost their love for the Word of God. They lost their lover, Christ. They lost their personal relationship with the light of life of God. And when they lost that, their ability to be raptured went with it. You want to know why? When they lost that first love, let's turn to John. I want to say it's chapter 9. I wasn't going to. Lord Jesus, you got to be leading it, because we done left the notes a long time ago. That's probably good. I want to say, let's see. It's where Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus. I thought it was 9. It's not 9. I'm not seeing it there. Is it 11? 12. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Pardon? 11:51. Okay, someone said 12 when I was looking at it. Okay. All right, there we go. Yes, chapter 11. My apology for that. We know the story, of course, how that Jesus was told that Lazarus, his friend, was sick, and they called for him, and he delays until finally he falls asleep. Or we would say he died. And Jesus said, well, let's go wake him. And, you know, or he said he sleepeth, but let's go wake him out of his sleep. They're in 11:11. And so he speaks to them, and pretty soon they get down to where they lived and pick it up at verse 21. And Martha sees him coming and met him there in verse 20. And Martha says unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus says unto her, thy brother shall rise again. So now she believes in Jesus Christ, obviously. And she says that, you know, if you'd been here, she believed in the sign of the healing. She believed that, you know, Jehovah was acting in Jesus Christ as a healer. And she says that to him. She's not angry. She just does, she doesn't understand. Many times we don't understand. Keep your attitude right and watch God move on the scene. And so she says that to him. And she has confidence that whatsoever you ask, God will give it to you. And then he does something. He prophesies, when the lion hath roared, who can but prophesy? And he prophesies, thy brother shall rise again. And when he says this, and Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now that's pretty good doctrine. She was a Pharisee. She believed in the resurrection. She'd been taught pretty well. Can you imagine? Here she's telling Jesus, hey, I know he's going to rise because I know all about the resurrection. You know, and she starts laying her doctrine on Jesus. And it's true doctrine. There will be a resurrection at the last day. And she is sitting, here she is, and she's laying her doctrine on Jesus. And Jesus says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh my, what happened? The word always corrects the error. And she had the right doctrine. She had it placed at the wrong time. And she had placed her brother in the wrong time zone, if I can use that. Because the time zone was Jehovah was there in Jesus Christ. And this is the first time that I know of that he declares himself, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Now what's the importance of that to you believers? I hear people and they got all kinds of doctrines about resurrections and catching aways and all this. I'll tell you this much. Jesus Christ is your rapture. Jesus Christ is your resurrection. And if he's living in you, he has the power to resurrect you from the dead if you go the way of the grave. And he has the power if you are alive and remain to take you out of here and never die. He has that power. He is the resurrection. It's not something that we're waiting for. It's somebody. Unless you got different scriptures than I got, I am the resurrection. Our resurrection is none other than the prophecy power of the Lord Jesus Christ living in your heart as a believer. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same one that called you out of sin, can call you into glory. Because he is our resurrection. He is our rapture. Praise the Lord. And he, the first thing he does is prophesy, and then he reveals his word. Thy brother shall rise again, and here's how it's going to happen. Because I am, the resurrection is on the scene. Brother, sister, wherever two or three are gathered, he's in your midst. No wonder Brother Branham said it could happen at any time. Because he is your resurrection. He said the rapture is a revelation. It's a revelation that he is the one that does it. You trust in him to do it. Not in somebody's doctrine. Not in somebody's whatever. Jesus Christ, it's you and me. It's he is the resurrection. He is the one that will perform resurrection. He is the one that performs rapture. Or the ability to live life without death. Amen. And he does it by his word. God does everything by his word. Amen. But he prophesied, he reveals his word. Calls his sister, or the sister comes, Mary, and they go down. He says, where have you laid him? And they come down, and Mary falls at his feet. And, oh, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And when he sees her weeping, the man, becomes troubled. He says, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Come and see." And Jesus wept. The man realizing that this flesh is in a hopeless state wept over his friend. And then the Jews said, "Behold how he loved him." And they take him down to the cave. And it says, "Therefore, groaning in himself, he comes to the grave. It was a cave and the stone lay upon it. He says, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, 'Ha, Jesus, by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days.'" And can you imagine? He's saying, "Roll back the stone." And they're going, "Woo." Now, if Jesus was like some people want him to be, a reformer, can you imagine? "It's all right, girls, roll back the stone. It's okay. We're going to reform Lazarus. So I'm going to give you these little hankies. We're going to pour a little bit of anointing oil on him. Hold it over your nose." "Okay, what do you want us to do now?" "We'll go in there." "Are you sure?" "Go in there." And so into the cave they go. "Whew, that's pretty strong. What do you want us to do now?" "Well, sit him up." "Oh, man. I hope he don't fall apart. I mean, he's been gone 4 days. Okay, we got him sat up. What do you want us to do now? How about raise his arms? We're going to have a worship service." Jesus, the reformer. Isn't it amazing how they can have service after service and he's still dead? And yet they got the worship service going. The music is a banging and a playing. And the people are dancing and shouting and their arms is up. But he's still dead. Because Jesus was not a reformer. He's the resurrection. You know? Yep, hold them arms up. We're going to have a worship service. But no, that's not what Jesus did. And they said, "He's been dead 4 days." And he said, "Did I not say to thee that if you would believe, you shall see the glory of God?" Because he's already spoken it. And he's revealed it by his word. He is the word. And he's revealed who he is, resurrection and life. They take the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." According to the message of the hour, had he have not called Lazarus by name, every dead person that had ever died would have had to have come on the scene. Because he was the voice of God. And when he calls Lazarus, come forth. Now think about it. We've been talking about the creative word. And talking about how that God creates by his word. When he says, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus, the man that had been created. All things are created by him, for him, and without him nothing that was made. And the voice speaks to that piece of dirt. And that piece of dirt has to answer to its creator. And Lazarus stands up. Brother, sister, when the voice of God calls your name, you will have to answer to the voice of God that created you, just the same as Lazarus. "Lazarus, come forth," and he that was dead, he came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." So here he is, coming out of the grave. looks like, what do they call those things nowadays, zombie movies? Mummies or whatever it is. And here he is. He comes out. I'll bet their eyes was just like, ah, this happens every day, right? I imagine they're standing there. And here he comes, staggering out of there. And Jesus says to them, loose him and let him go. They had something to do. They had to go and undo the grave clothes. They had to loose Lazarus, the resurrected one. They had to take away the napkin. They had to take away the clothes. Brother, sister, I believe it was in the 50s, Brother Branham preached a message. I haven't even been able to find it on message search, but it was one of those little books. I could tell you where I was seated at the time I read it. I read it several times. And Brother Branham mentioned that scripture, they which are first shall be last, and they which are last shall be first. And the way he referred to that scripture, like I said, I haven't been able to find it in the message search. So maybe it's a book they don't have. I don't know. But he said what that is. He said that as each age went down, he said, and it comes to the last age, when we receive that revelation, he said, we turn, because we knew who they were, to the last generation, and we begin to call for them. Another place, there's an old song, when you begin to see your loved ones walk around, the ones that you have laid out in the ground. And he said, in each age, then in turn begins to turn back and call for the previous age. Amen. Until the first age that went down is the last one to receive the power Amen. Of the resurrection. Amen. Huh. Interesting. Because he is the resurrection. And when that resurrection strikes us in Revelation, by a revelation, then it's our words. We have something to do.
Amen.
If you find it, tell Brother Andrew so he can let me know. Because I've not been able to find it, but I remember reading the book. I think I even marked it in the book. I've never heard him say it any time but that one time. It's back in the 50s. But that's the only time I've ever heard him explain that scripture. We will call. They had something to do. So we see he fought with the beast at Ephesus. He fought. Ephesus could have been raptured. We know that Ephesus lost their first love. They lost that resurrection power when they turned away from Jesus Christ. They lost that power to be resurrection and life. The word there is actually Zoe. It's God's life. And God's life has no death. And so we realize that they had lost that. He said, I fought with the beast at Ephesus, and he won. He won. Or he wouldn't have been there to prophesy. But here he was, he fought with those beasts, and now he is in the spirit of that beast. The lion spirit is there, and he is prophesying of things that are going to come to pass, things that will affect the entire Gentile dispensation. He is speaking those things in prophetic utterance. We could turn to Galatians, and in Galatians chapter 1, when he comes down, and he begins to talk about them, and how that I'm an apostle sent from God, and so on. And let's just look at it. It's close. In Galatians chapter 1. And how important is it to know that what Ephesus did, they lost their first love. And it's something, brother, sister, don't lose that. Don't lose your love for Jesus Christ, your personal relationship. He's the one that reveals the Word to you. He's the one that paid for your salvation. He's the one that has the ability to rapture you, because He is your rapture. He has the power to bring resurrection. It's all in Jesus Christ. And He's the Word. And as the Word becomes revealed to us, then we become partakers, just as the children of Israel did. Don't speak against the prophecy. He will have a bride without spot or wrinkle. I see people and, oh my, they're just having such a trouble. Oh, I heard one man preach a while back about how terrible the bride of Jesus Christ is worldwide. The man's a liar because the word says he'll have a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's you. That's me. I don't care what the circumstances look like. He declared it. All nature will have to respond and turn us into those kind of individuals. If your hearts condemn you, have no fear. He's greater than your heart. And He abides faithful to fulfill His word. He says, Paul, an apostle of in Galatians, and he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, not of man, so on. And he says, grace and peace to you from God the Father who gave, and so on, gave us, I'm already to verse 4, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. If Satan comes to you and tries to tell you, oh, those are nice promises, but they're not for you. You know, you're wasting your time. You ought just well go be a denominational or, you know, a little drink down in the bar corner won't hurt. Those kind of things, those are temptations of the flesh, temptations of the spirit. And he'll say, you know, that's nice. All those nice people at church, oh, they're so wonderful. It's too bad it's not for you. You ever hear those kind of things? That's, you know, it can't be the will of God for you to be saved. Look how terrible you look. Oh, man. You know, the kind of things that, it's a mental battle. It's the greatest battle ever fought is right here, right between these earlobes. But here he says, grace and peace to you from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. Your sins are covered, past, present, future, amen. If you can believe. Amen. If you fall in sin, what's the quickest way back? A quick repentance. Amen. God, I didn't mean to do it. Change my heart. Change my life. And he said, you gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from the present evil world. Why did He go to Calvary? To lose you out in the gutter somewhere? No. To deliver you from this. Let me ask this question. Are we living in a present evil world? Or is everything just roses and happy? Milk and cereal every morning? No, friends, we're in the most evil time that ever was. This is the time He died for. To deliver you from this evil world. Watch the next line. It gets better. According to the will of God and our Father. It is the will of God to deliver you from this world. It's His will. All you have to do is believe it. Amen. Say, Jesus, here am I. I can't do it myself. Please, take this heart, take this life. Now we'll go just a little further with this, then we'll get ready to close. To whom be the glory forever. And in verse 6, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but some be that trouble you would pervert the gospel. Friends, they're preaching the gospel. But it's really not the gospel. But they come using the name of Jesus Christ. They come, friends, using the message of the hour. Talk those things. If you didn't, you know, I think they'll probably have the tape if you weren't here last night. It's a fine razor's edge. And they will come using the message of the hour. And their intention is to get you to look at a church. Or to look at a particular revelation, or a particular man of God, or pastor, whatever, and they want you to turn your backs on this one and on your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. He removed Eve from the word that had been spoken to her by Adam. And he removed her position. And how did he do it? He when he talked to Eve in the garden, he said, Hath God said this? And she agrees. Yeah, God said that. Hallelujah. Got a real meeting going here. And he says, but God knows in the day that you do that, in the day that, you know, you'll not surely die, but God knows that in the day that you do that, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God's. What was he doing? He was removing her from her position. She already was a daughter of God. She already was. She was born a daughter of God. So what did he do? He actually got her to look and think that it was somewhere else. That she didn't already have the full potential to be a daughter of God. In the day you eat this, God knows, then your eyes will be opened. You'll not surely die. And when she received that, her divine nature, she left her lover. She left Christ, the Word. And here Paul is talking to the Galatians. We already mentioned it with the Ephesians. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him. From Him. From Him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. It's Him, Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. That is your revelation. That's what will change you. That will take you out of sin. That will take you into glory. It's a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And they tried, and these men were coming, and they were telling them, you got to have the law. You got to be circumcised. You have to follow this rabbi. You got to, we're of Cephas, we're of this one, we're of that one. Nonsense! They had to have their experience with Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't let Him take that from you. Don't lay those things aside. You're called to be sons and daughters of God. Don't let some guy come by and tell you you don't have it. If you know you've been born again by Jesus Christ, and you can give that testimony, the old colored lady, Brother Branham, said, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm sure not what I used to be. If you can honestly say that, you have been birthed of God, and just keep moving on. You know, when Enoch, however, says he walked with God, it wasn't he was standing there one day and God come by and said, okay, Enoch, let's go. No, it said Enoch walked with God. He took one line. He took one precept. He took another precept. He took another line. He walked step after step. And one day, those steps took him into glory. How do we enter the rest? You can read it, Isaiah 28, when you get home. Line upon line, precept upon precept, to whom He hath said, this is the rest. That's your entrance. Brother Andrew mentioned it, an entrance is ministered. Your entrance into Jesus Christ is preached to you. By you and you receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ gives you every right to the kingdom of God. Okay, we'll finish, we'll go back. We find there in Genesis, it said He was the lion's whelp. He was the child of the lion. We established from Amos that spirit of the lion is a spirit of prophecy. When He declared Him in Genesis, the lion's whelp, He had to become the son of prophecy. Because the lion had roared. And we don't have time to do it today, but you can go back through Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. Psalms 22. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. And here was the lion's son hanging on Calvary. And they were gathered. Bible says that Satan goes forth as a roaring lion to devour whom he will. And he was there to try to destroy Jesus Christ. Something from the lion kingdom. If a female lion ever loses her husband or decides to leave her husband lion and she goes and takes another lion, the new husband has the right in the lion kingdom to go back and kill all the children of the previous lion. And when Israel said, give us Barabbas, they took a new husband And that gave Satan the right, because he was a murderer and a thief. And that gave Satan the right to kill the child of the other lion. You think nature doesn't speak this gospel? And here was Jesus Christ on Calvary, the lion's whelp. He was the prophecy being fulfilled. The lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's hanging there. I don't think we mentioned this last time, but remember when Pilate, and it said they took him and they had him scourged. And then when they had him scourged, and they brought him before Pilate. And Pilate says, you know, I want to release him. I find no fault in this man. Why did God have that happen? Because the lamb had to be declared perfect before it could be offered as the sin offering for the people. And when Pilate, the highest authority of the lamb, said, I find no fault in him. That was one of the greatest things he could have said. He said he was perfect. He is the perfect sacrifice. And they took him and they beat him and they put the robe on him. And they platted a crown of thorns and they put it upon his head. And when they put that upon his head and brought him back to Pilate. And Pilate takes him one last time before the people and says, behold the man. And he's clothed with that purple robe. He's been beaten. There's another thing perhaps you remember. I think it's in Psalms 22 again. It says, all my bones are out of joint. Friend of ours that did a lot of research and thing said that he studied the crucifixions and the way the Romans do it. They used to take big padded clubs and they would take the men that are about to be crucified and they would hit them in all the joints and separate the joints, break the tendons in the knees, break the tendons in the elbows. Everywhere there's a joint in the shoulders. No wonder he staggered and fell with that cross going up that hill for you and I. All of his bones were out of joint because they beat him that way. But the Bible said not a bone would be broken. So here he is. He's standing there. He's been beaten. And that crown of thorns. And they look upon him and Pilate says, behold the man. Don't have time to go into the man's covenant today. But here was Jesus. And he said, I find no fault in him. And he washes his hand. So you can never wash your hands of the blood of Jesus Christ. You either receive him or you're done for. Pilate committed suicide because he knew he would be killed. And he didn't have the guts to ask Jesus, what should I do? He didn't recognize him as the king. Even though he called him the king of the Jews. And so when they took him out and they hung him on Calvary, and it said the lion was there, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a roaring and a ravening lion. And he had the right to be killed by the new lion. But in, I think it's Psalms, I believe it's 8, might be 9, it says he talks about his soul, about the soul of God. And God's nature was being displayed in Jesus Christ. You can take it all the way back to the garden. There's a place when it says the voice of the Lord came to them after they sinned. One of the translations on that is a bleeding lamb. Amen. From the garden he had been the bleeding lamb. And had they have turned then, but they didn't. In fact, they hid themselves from him. Isaiah said, we hid our faces from him. Esteemed him as nothing. He was the son of the lion. And as he hung there and that lion desired to kill him, he desired not only to kill the body, he wanted to take his soul. But there's one last thing from the lion kingdom, and that is the thorns. Where did the thorns come from? If we looked at Genesis, I think it's the 3rd chapter where God is coming and he curses the serpent, he speaks to the woman, and he speaks to Adam. He said, Adam, because you listened to the voice of your wife. He said, thorns and thistles. The ground is cursed. He never cursed Adam, but he cursed the ground. He said, and thorns and thistles will it bring forth, and you'll have to work now by the sweat of your brow, Adam. It came from the curse. And when they put that on his head, he became the king over the curse. It is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. And he was king of the curse. He removed the curse for you and I.
Amen.
But there's more. Because in the lion kingdom, perhaps you've heard the story of Brother Branham talking about hunting the lions in Africa. Some of you brothers, maybe you've done it yourselves. And he said that they were out with the guide one day, and they'd out through the savannas and stuff hunting the lions. And he said the guide looked up and he saw the sun was starting to get low. And he said, we got to hurry. We got to find some thorns. And so they hurried down until they found a big patch of thorns. And even some of the villages in Africa, they'll take, like we do the barbed wire, they'll take and they'll run. There's a brother telling you right now, this is true. And they will roll up those thorns in big balls, and they'll take sticks, and they'll have those thorns all the way around the village. And in the morning, they'll roll them back, and the people can go out into the fields and do what they're supposed to do. And at night, they'll call them back in, and as the people come back in, they'll close those thorns. Because the lion will never cross the thorns. And they said, Brother Branham says, they got down that night and they found a thorn patch and they crawled under there. And he said, all night long. It was a scary thing. He said, you could hear the lion pacing. He could smell them in those thorns. He wanted them so bad. And it paced back and forth. The lion. Pacing, pacing. Knowing they're there. But the lion will not cross the thorns. Satan could not cross the thorns. He could take the body, but he couldn't take the soul. Because it is written, I will not leave his soul in hell, nor suffer my Holy One to see corruption. And when that was expressed, when the life went out of Jesus, and it went into hell and preached to the souls that were in prison, and he takes those keys, and when he come forth, he leads captivity captive. Oh my. Oh, it's, and the prophets, they come to the door. Oh, it's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Ah, Abraham, come, look, this is the one that was at the tent door. And you know, and all the different ones. And they says that many were resurrected and were seen about the city. Because it's written, he led captivity captive. So he became the king of the curse for you and I. Let's quickly, we'll finish up here. Back to 2 Timothy 4. Because remember, it's the spirit of prophecy. We're going to reverse the type just for a moment as he looks at this. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I'm in verse 17, 2 Timothy 4, 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. By him, the one that had fought with the beast at Ephesus. And now he's standing there saying, by me the preaching is to the Gentiles, that they might know. And he said, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, he was delivered from the mouth of a natural lion, but is talking about preaching. And our deliverance comes from the mouth of the lion. Because the lion hath roared, and the prophecy went forth, and the prophecy began to walk through time, and all of creation begins to calling out a Gentile bride. And the prophecy is going forth through Paul. And the spirit of the lion is upon him. And it's prophesying. And it's prophesying. And it's prophesying throughout the Gentile ages. You're hearing it tonight or this morning. It's Christ. It's the spirit of prophecy. Now let's look one last place. The deliverance comes from the mouth of the lion. Paul was delivered from the lion, and he's delivering the prophecy by the spirit of the lion to you and I. Amen. And so let's look in Revelations. We'll start in chapter 4, be the last scripture, Lord willing. Our deliverance comes from the mouth of the lion. He said, I was delivered from the mouth of the lion. And in chapter 4 of the book of Revelations, we know it's he said he was caught up, come up hither. I will show thee things that shall be after hereafter. He was in the spirit and so on. And he talks about the four beasts. Verse 7 says, and the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And then he just gives a little more description there. And the 24 elders fall down and worship him there in verse 10. And in verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. And here he repeats what it says in Colossians, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are they are and were created. Now stop just for a second. He created all things, right? Amen. And what do we read for the bride of Jesus Christ in Romans 8? All things work together for good to them that love God and are thee called according to his purpose. All things work together. The translation there is actually benefit. Works to our benefit. Brother, sister, what do we have to fear? Okay? So he repeats that there. All things were created. And I saw in him, going into chapter 5, I saw him in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. It's perfect, brother, you're preaching or talking on the seals this morning. And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So we understand what's going on. There is a sealed book, and they're holding that book, and no man was found worthy to open the book, to even read or to even look at it. And one of the elders, and so he begins to weep. Because what's in the book? Brother Branham talked about two books. He said there's the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. And the Lamb's book of life has our names. And as long as that book was sealed, we could never know the fullness of our salvation or be called back into the eternity from whence we came, except through death. And he says, no one was able, and so he begins to weep. And in verse 5, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Who prevailed? The lion's whelp. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The root, another place it says, the root and offspring of David. And the lion has prevailed. When he looks, the voice cries out, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion has prevailed. Now, what was that lion? It was the spirit of prophecy. All down through the scriptures. Psalms 22, Psalms 8, Psalms this, Psalms, you know, and all of those other scriptures down through the prophets. David, when he was there and the men went and fought, it laid their lives in jeopardy. All those different things. Every scripture, Brother Branham said, somehow points us to Jesus Christ. And those things came forth under that spirit of prophecy, under the spirit of the lion. And now we see it manifested here in the book of Revelations. And he said, the lion prevailed. The prophecies prevailed and brought Jesus Christ. The Word of God prevailed. So much that Satan couldn't cross the thorns. He could take his life, but he couldn't take his soul. All the things that happened, and when they fed the Christians to the lions, and they did all of those things down through those other ages, still the Word prevailed. The lion was prevailing because God said those church ages would be there. Those spirits would be there. And the lion was prevailing. The prophecy was prevailing. And he said, I turned and saw the Lamb. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And you can read the rest. The lamb, or the lion, had prevailed. The spirit of prophecy of all those prophets, all those things came that brought the lion's whelp. Now he appears as the overcoming, the lion, the fullness of the word of God. And our deliverance comes by the lion's mouth. But there's one more. And that's because it has to move into the eagle. And it's the spirit of the eagle. There's men that come, and they have all kinds of prophecy. They have everything going. There's also that spirit that caused them to lay down their lives in the dark ages. And there's that spirit of the man. We talked about it a little bit last night, of how they use men's wisdom to overcome, and how that at Azusa Street, all of the signs and wonders were restored at Azusa Street under the spirit of a man. But the word, the fullness of the word, had to come through the eagle. Amen. And it was the eagle that told us about the lion. Amen. It was the eagle that said, the lion hath prevailed. Amen. It's the eagle that said, and the first seal is this. Amen. That's thus saith the Lord. Amen. The second seal was, and the third seal was. I heard a man say that, he said, well, you know, so many seals are open, but some of them aren't open. Apparently they didn't read closely, because it said there were six of them, and the seventh one was laid across the first six. To get to the first six, you had to open the seventh. And the lion hath prevailed, and our deliverance comes through the mouth of the lion. Because it takes us into the eagle. Because now the book is open. You shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Brother Branham told us. Our eagle messenger said that's the Old and the New Testament. We don't have to wonder about the old things. Because if you look closely, everything points to Jesus Christ. If you think I'm hard on other brethren, I don't have anything against anybody in particular. But when they're taking people away from Jesus Christ, the Word, from allowing you to fulfill the prophecy spoken of you, the lion prevailed through the lamb. Because the lamb was the fulfillment of the prophecy and the one that took the book. Because it had to be covered with blood. It was a blood sin in the garden. And it's blood that takes us home. Perfect song again this morning, brother. There is a fountain filled with blood. You love him this morning?
Amen.
We have been delivered by the mouth of the lion. Because the prophecy now rests in you and I. There's a bride without spot or wrinkle. Ye shall not all die, ye shall be changed. And ye shall renew your strength as an eagle. He that waiteth upon the Lord shall renew his strength like an eagle. Another place it says, and we mentioned this last night, that your youth can be restored like an eagle. The prophecy, the lion, the spirit of prophecy now rests in you if you have received the Lamb and can begin to realize your name is in this book. God bless you this morning. Do you know that song? Let's just stand for a moment. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've ministered your word this morning. We would ask you, Lord, write it upon the testimony, the tables of our hearts, that we might become living epistles written and read of known all men. That's whom you declared us. Said the same Spirit that raised Christ dead, raised Christ from the dead. If it dwell in us, so shall it quicken these mortal bodies. We receive those prophecies. We receive you, the Lamb. And may we mount up with wings as eagles. Because the prophecy said so. We receive you. We thank you for that offering. We thank you for the lion's whelp. We thank you for the lion that roared. God, we appreciate these things. We give you this service, these people. If I said anything out of the way or turned anyone to the wrong side or said something that was displeasing, please, Father, you said we can ask what we will and you'll do it. Erase it. Even on our own computers at home, we have in most people's computers, it's the 5 button, Lord. And it means delete. And 5's the number of grace. We would ask for grace today, Lord. And if there's anything said out of the way, forgive us. And may we move closer to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Can I? Maybe. Do you know that song as the other musicians would come? If I can intrude once more for just a little bit, brother, God bless you. He's kind. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. I'm in D, brothers. Cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. Our peace. Let's just raise our hands and hearts in worship to Him. He said He gives you peace that passes all understanding. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all my cares on Him, for He cares for me. Cast all my cares on Him, for He cares for me. He is my peace. He is my peace. I'll cast all my cares on Him, for He cares for me. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. As Brother Andrew comes, in moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands
I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you.
Can we sing it? I lift up my heart.
In moments like these, I lift up my heart. I lift up my heart to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my heart. I lift up my heart.
Somebody's hand.
I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you.
Shake somebody's hand now.
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I
thing. What did it say in the Bible? The prophet says, how did they lose their first love? He said it was those Nicolaitans that made them lose their first love. And Jesus says, let no man deceive you. You know, keep your eyes on him. That's the key. Let's bow our heads. Let's sing that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If anybody would desire prayer, we'd just ask Brother David, who'd be kind enough to pray for the sick. Please feel free to come forward. Let's enter into worship, saints.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
let's keep our eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful things, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonder.
Let us know this. The voice of Jesus. Oh.
Really do appreciate the word. So appreciate the Lord. Where would you be if Jesus didn't love you?
Hallelujah.
Where would we be today? No, you really think about it. It's just the grace of God. And all he wants us to do is just yield ourselves to him.
Hallelujah.
Let's not get caught up in other things. And you know, just keep your eyes on him.
Yes, Jesus.
He called you. He died for you. He shed his blood. He has a personal plan for your life. He has good thoughts for you. He says, I want to give you an expected end.
Mm.
You know, just keep your eyes on him.
Hallelujah.
And it was such a masterpiece there when Brother David was showing that Ephesus, how it lost its first love.
Amen.
You know, they had so much, they had overcome so much, their messenger had overcome so much, and then they lost their first love. And saints, when we lose our first love, we lose everything.
Amen.
And that's when Jesus says, remember from where you have fallen.
Amen.
Remember, go back in your mind first to how it used to be, how glorious it used to be. Go back first in your mind, then go back in your works and do your first works.
Hallelujah.
And the prophet says, but they never did it. He says, doesn't mean they couldn't have done it. He says, but they never did it. And you find Ephesus, what did it become? And the prophet says, it doesn't mean that we can't do it.
Amen.
He says, but it must be a true heart cry. It must be something that's the most important thing to inside of your life. There must be nothing between you and him. If something's come in the way, you do it gentle, but you do it firm. You don't allow anything, anybody, any ambition, any hope, any purpose, any plan, whatever it is, don't allow anything to come between you and him. Because he's our resurrection. He's our salvation. He's our full redemption.
Hallelujah.
He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our all in all. Without him, we're nothing. But with him, we are all things.
Amen.
We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Really did appreciate it. Thank you so much, brother, for passing our way. I just wish it was a convention that we could come back in the evening and meet again and come back tomorrow and meet again. It was going to be real fine because it was getting real nice and sweet. When the brother said, I think I better close off now, I was saying to myself, no, don't do it. Stay there.
Hallelujah.
It was really so fine. So really, I've appreciated so much the ministry of the word. To those who are free this evening, Brother David's preaching for Brother Tommy, 6 o'clock, Scarver Orange Hall. So I know some saints are coming. It'd be a wonderful way to finish the weekend. If you're free, why not come along? I'm sure it'll be a fine time. Let's really pray for the brother as well. Let's bow our heads. Is anybody here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ? You don't know him. You don't have a first love because you've never accepted him. But inside of your heart, you're feeling today, I just want him. I just need him. I just want to accept Jesus. He's been speaking to your soul. He's been dealing with your life. He's been wanting to come in. And now's the time. And you want him to open up and say, Jesus, you come in. I give it all to you. If anybody would want to raise their hand today and say, Jesus, I give it all to you. Father, we do thank you, Lord. Father, you are so faithful. You are so kind. Father, you're always on time. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for that, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know exactly what we need. You know exactly when we need it.
Amen.
And Father, I so do thank you, Lord, for your word. I do so thank you, Lord, for your, Father, the gifts that you put in men. Do so thank you for, Lord, your anointing of grace, Lord, that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. Father, what a wonderful thing that it is. Thank you for speaking unto us, Lord. Father, your word is more than life. Father, your word is, Father, where would we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. And Jesus, we're so glad today that you've spoken unto us. Lord, it's so wonderful to be shut in with you. It's so wonderful, Lord, when you come and speak personally unto us, Lord, right within the veil. And Father, you start to explain things to us, and you start to reveal things to us, and you start to show us things that were, and things that are, and things that are to come. And Father, we so do appreciate and thank you for that, Lord. Just praying, Lord, for Brother David, Lord. Pray for Sister Deborah, that you'd continue to bless them. We think of Sister Ruth upon this day. We do pray for her as well, that the blessing that she was to us when she was in our midst as well. Father, even the service this evening, how we pray. Lord, let it be a capstone, would be our desire. Father, may you finish off these weekend services, Lord, by, Father, just ministering, Lord, in such a wonderful way and manifesting yourself, Lord. And, Father, we'll give you the glory. Father, even as we dismiss, give us traveling mercies. Watch over us as we go to our various homes, Lord. And, Father, protect us and keep us. And Father, everybody that's been prayed for upon this day, we just pray, Lord, that you'd continue to stir up the faith inside of every soul, even as we go from this place, Lord, that your victory may be manifest in that every situation, Lord, is our desire, Lord, that, Father, there would be testimonies, Lord, that, Father, you've just done wonderful things. Lord, we so thank you for that, Lord. We so thank you, Lord, that you're in that business, Lord. And Father, how wonderful to be about the Father's business. Father, bless your people as we go. We do want to pray, even for upcoming meetings with Brother Howard when he comes, Lord. We do pray that you'll bless those meetings as well. And Father, we do pray for our youth. We pray for our children, Lord. We pray for each home that's represented here upon this day. Certain people, we don't see them here today. We want to pray for them, Lord, and just ask of thee, Lord, that, Father, you would speak. Father, your wonderful word, because you said, I will restore, saith the Lord, all the years. Oh, Father, we just pray for that. Even as we dismiss and go from this place, may you be glorified, Lord. May your name be lifted up, Lord. And Father, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us to run with patience, Lord, this race that is set before us. Lord, we ask you to go with us in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Saints, let's dismiss. Do you have one, Rajo?
I'm not what I ought to be.
I'm not what I ought to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. More I want to be what God wants me to be.
Changing my life now that Christ is in a picture. picture of you.